This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
A new lawsuit is accusing Facebook and Instagram of becoming a marketplace for predators. And the race to develop AI tools and microchips is heating up as Google and AMD announce new products. Plus, Bitcoin prices have been rising, but miners are under fire for their water consumption.
There's great demand for this mining. And as long as that is happening, there's going to be demand for electricity to run these systems and computations, and there'll be a growing demand for water.
It's Wednesday, December 6th. I'm Shelby Holliday for The Wall Street Journal, sitting in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. In a new lawsuit, the state of New Mexico is alleging that Meta has allowed Facebook and Instagram to become a marketplace for predators who are in search of children. The suit claims that the social media sites recommend sexual content to underage users and promote the accounts of minors to apparent child predators. And it names Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg as personally responsible for product decisions that aggravated risks to children on Meta's platforms. The Wall Street Journal's Jeff Horowitz has more.
So New Mexico kind of took its own route here. The state didn't join the other 40-odd attorney generals who are currently suing Meta over teen mental health issues and the allegation that the company maximized user engagement in ways that fed young users insecurity. Raul Torres, the attorney general of New Mexico, is a former prosecutor of internet-based crimes against children, and he said that the volume of child sexual exploitation occurring on the platform, and especially Meta's sort of role in facilitating it, made him think that a second approach was also necessary in addition to that teen mental health litigation. So this is a civil claim that effectively alleges that Meta knowingly designed a defective product and then hid it from their users, including the parents of minor children, by saying that the platform was safe and that they were on top of this sort of issue.
Meta didn't immediately provide comment on the allegations in the lawsuit, but in a statement, it said that it works diligently to protect young users. The Journal reported last week that Meta is struggling to fix problems on Facebook and Instagram, where groups devoted to trading child sex content have gotten hundreds of thousands of users. The company has said that it has taken measures to address those issues. The AI race continues to heat up. Today, Google announced its new AI system called Gemini, which it says is more powerful than any currently on the market, including ChatGPT. While the algorithm still needs testing and won't be widely available until next year, Google touted the software's ability to process a range of information, including text, computer code, audio, images, and video. The Wall Street Journal's Miles Krupa has more.
This is important for Google because a lot of people were waiting for it to release something really big and really groundbreaking. And what Google said is that Gemini is basically more powerful than any other AI software on the market, including GPT-4, which is offered by OpenAI, big rival in a lot of this AI stuff. The war has been raging already, but what's happening is we're seeing a little bit of a reset of the battlefield. Clearly, OpenAI just went through a bunch of turmoil with leadership, and that's settled now that Sam Altman, their CEO, is back in charge. But there are going to be some lasting implications from that. You might see customers look to use multiple AI software models from a bunch of different providers. And Google is trying to be well-positioned to capture some of that business as more and more companies are looking towards these types of services.
Meanwhile, Advanced Micro Devices, or AMD, announced that it's beginning to roll out its newest chips for artificial intelligence. These chips help power advanced AI systems, like the products being developed by OpenAI and Google. AMD says its chips will become widely available starting in 2024, and the company is expecting a strong reception, projecting $2 billion in revenue next year. Joining me to talk more about this is WSJ's Asa Fitch. Hey, Asa.
Hi.
So how big of a deal is this announcement for AMD, and what does it mean for NVIDIA, which is currently the dominant player in the AI chip market?
It's a big deal for AMD because these chips are the first time they've really mounted a very significant challenge to NVIDIA's lead in the world of AI computing. For NVIDIA, it's the first time they've faced somebody else kind of getting in on their territory in this world. So it's kind of a big deal for both companies. To be fair, though, NVIDIA is still way in the lead in terms of AI chip spending.
And who are the other players looking to gain ground in this space and ultimately challenge NVIDIA's dominance?
There are a lot of folks making a go at this. I mean, there are quite a number of startups that have chips that they're promoting and they want to challenge NVIDIA in different ways. Perhaps some of the bigger challengers are these huge tech companies that themselves have developed their own AI chips. They don't sell them externally. You know, you can't go to a computer store and buy a chip made by Google or Microsoft, but those companies are working, or in the case of Microsoft, they're starting to work on their own chips. Google has had AI chips for a very long time. Amazon also has its own AI chips. So these companies are also, you know, in this game and in some sense challenging NVIDIA, although they're not sort of selling them into the market.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Asa Fitch. Coming up, how Bitcoin mining is using more water than the city of New York. That's after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Rising Bitcoin prices are making headlines, and so is the massive amount of water that is being sucked up by Bitcoin mining. You may already know about the large amounts of energy needed to solve complex equations and unlock new Bitcoins, so-called mining. But why water? Well, the computers that do these operations need water to cool. But miners also use water indirectly by running both computers and air conditioning systems powered by gas and coal-fired power plants that in turn require cooling water. According to the peer-reviewed journal Cell Reports Sustainability, last year, Bitcoin miners used more water than all of New York City, and they're on track to surpass an annual total of 591 billion gallons. Joining me to talk more about why mining requires so much water and what it means for the environment is WSJ's Eric Kneeler. Hey, Eric.
Hi, nice to be here.
Thanks for coming on. So first of all, how does the Bitcoin mining industry justify this massive amount of water that it's using?
Well, it's funny. The industry says that it's really no different than any other use of water, whether it's to run big server farms, whether it's to have a hydroelectric dam that provides energy, or flushing the toilet, as the spokeswoman told me yesterday. So they're disputing these studies. But it's interesting just to look at this in general. Not this really doesn't reflect on whether Bitcoin is bad or good, but it's definitely a new source of demand for energy, and energy that needs water to keep it cool and to keep all those computers running.
And is that use of water a problem? Does it not circulate back into the system after being used to cool the computers?
It can be a problem in places where you have lack of water, scarcity of water, or periods of drought. Texas is the leader in the United States for Bitcoin mining. It has the largest number of operations. Parts of Texas do have groundwater issues. There are other parts of the Southwest in New Mexico and California and Utah, the entire Western region that has really been under water scarcity for many years, with a few exceptions recently. So other countries as well, Kazakhstan and these sorts of places where they've had water scarcity issues in Central Asia. You've seen the Bitcoin prices this week are really sky high, 35,000, over 40,000 today. So there's great demand for this mining, and there's great demand for getting this currency while it's available. As long as that is happening, there's going to be demand for electricity to run these systems and computations, and there'll be a growing demand for water.
That's a good point. Mining doesn't just happen in the U.S., although the U.S. is the leader. Are there any workable solutions to this problem? Is the industry planning to do anything about it?
The industry as a whole hasn't really come up with any solutions. Some folks believe that by switching to, say, renewable energy, that may have a less of a footprint, burning less fossil fuels. In terms of the water footprint, maybe having these server farms in colder environments or cooler environments where the cooling needs aren't as great. But as for now, I'm not seeing a lot of push for movement on this issue.
That was The Wall Street Journal's Eric Kneeler. McDonald's is attempting its first new restaurant concept in the U.S., and it's called Cosmix, named after the orange, fast-food-loving alien character who has featured in past McDonald's ads. Executives at the Chicago-based burger chain outlined plans for the new brand during an investor presentation today. WSJ's Heather Haddon discusses McDonald's strategy.
McDonald's is testing this new small-format Cosmix concept in a handful of markets this year and next to try to see if there is room for them to grow in these to-go-only beverage-led formats. And this definitely is their attempt to try to compete with Starbucks, Dutch Bros, which is a drive-through coffee concept, and some other smaller format chains that are expanding quite quickly and are focused on beverages, which tend to have a really high return on investment compared to food, which takes more time and ingredients often to prepare. There are some risks with this, but McDonald's stance is that they're in test and learn mode. The restaurant that is opening this month in a Chicago suburb is company owned, and they're going to kind of use that as a laboratory to see how that does. Like, does it actually yield profits? How do sales look? Do customers go to it? And they will glean more data from it and figure out if this is something that they want to expand further.
McDonald's also announced plans to build thousands of new restaurants and expand its chicken offerings around the world. The U.S. is accusing four Russian military personnel of abducting and torturing an American in Ukraine. It's the first time the U.S. has formally brought charges of war crimes in connection with Russia's invasion of the country. In the unsealed indictment, prosecutors say that the American man was abducted from a village in southern Ukraine by the four men in April of 2022. They kept him for 10 days, during which they interrogated him and threatened to execute him. The indictment says that the man didn't otherwise participate in the conflict and was protected under the Geneva Convention. Meanwhile, President Biden warned that if Congress fails to pass tens of billions of dollars in new aid for Ukraine by the end of the year, it could ultimately lead the U.S. to direct conflict with Russia. The comments came as the Democratic-led Senate headed toward a failed vote on a $110.5 billion package containing a major new tranche of aid for Ukraine. The aid has been held up by demands from Republicans related to U.S. border enforcement, including changes to asylum. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is leaving Congress. In an opinion article in the Wall Street Journal, McCarthy said that he would quit at the end of the year and won't run for re-election. He didn't immediately lay out his future plans, but he said he would remain involved in GOP politics. McCarthy, a California Republican, was ousted as Speaker of the House in October after just 9 months in the role. The unprecedented move thrust the chamber into weeks of chaos. And in other political news, four candidates will square off in tonight's GOP presidential primary debate, with the event likely to focus on former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Both have been aggressively pitching themselves as the best alternative to former President Donald Trump, who is skipping yet another debate stage and instead holding a private fundraiser. Haley has been rising in the polls and gaining support from big donors, and DeSantis will likely try to slow her momentum. Also participating will be former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. Today's show was produced by Pierre Bienaimé and Anthony Bansi, with supervising producer Michael Kosmides. I'm Shelby Holliday for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. We'll be back with a new show tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.